Here's a question worth sitting with. What if the exhaust coming out of the back of your airplane was water? Just water? Warm, clean, drinkable water? That's not a thought experiment. There's a 19-seat turboprop that has already flown on exactly that, and the company behind it thinks it can put the technology into revenue service before the decade is out. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to break down hydrogen electric flight, the real engineering of it, not the press release version. What it is, why it matters, where it genuinely works, and where it runs face first into physics. The company we're going to build this around is called ZeroAvia. Let's break this down. Before we get into the chemistry, a quick word from the people helping keep this segment on the air. This one supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, cast in metal, you can actually hold beautifully made, built to last, and honestly, a better way to remember the day than a logbook stamp. That's aviationsoul.com. Alright, let's start with the core idea, because there are two completely different ways to burn hydrogen in an airplane, and people mix them up constantly. The first way is to take hydrogen and combust it. You spray it into a jet engine or a piston engine, light it, and it burns like any other fuel. Airbus has looked hard at this path. It's attractive because it reuses a lot of what we already know about turbines. But combustion is combustion. You still get high temperatures, you still get some nitrogen oxides forming in the hot section, and you still have all the moving parts of a turbine engine. The second way is the one ZeroAvia is chasing, and it's fundamentally different. You don't burn the hydrogen at all, you feed it into a fuel cell. Here's what a fuel cell actually does. It's an electrochemical device. On one side, you feed in hydrogen. On the other side, you feed in oxygen from the air. Instead of letting them combust in an explosion, the fuel cell forces the reaction to happen slowly across a membrane, and it harvests the electrons as they move. That flow of electrons is electricity. The only thing left over when hydrogen and oxygen combine is water. So the chain looks like this. Hydrogen tank into fuel cell, out comes electricity. That electricity spins an electric motor, and the motor turns the propeller. No combustion, no hot section. The exhaust is water vapor. Think of it less like an engine and more like a very sophisticated battery that you refuel instead of recharge. That analogy actually matters, and we'll come back to it. Now, why should a pilot care? Why is anybody spending hundreds of millions of dollars on this instead of just building a better battery airplane? The data tells an interesting story here, and it comes down to one brutal number, energy density. Batteries are heavy. The best lithium cells flying today store somewhere around 250 watt-hours per kilogram at the pack level, give or take. Jet fuel stores about 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That is roughly a 50-to-1 advantage for the liquid fuel. And it's why a battery electric airplane runs out of useful range so fast. The airplane spends most of its lift just carrying its own batteries. Hydrogen sits in a fascinating middle ground. By weight, hydrogen is spectacular. It holds about 3 times the energy of jet fuel per kilogram. Pound for pound, nothing beats it. That's why rockets burn it. But, and here's what most people miss, hydrogen is terrible by volume. It's the lightest element in the universe. Even when you chill it into a liquid, it takes up roughly 4 times the space of the same energy in jet fuel. And if you store it as a compressed gas instead of a liquid, it's far worse than that. So the whole engineering problem of hydrogen aviation is a storage problem. The energy is there, and it's light. You just have to find somewhere to put a fuel that wants to occupy an enormous volume, and that either has to sit at 700 bar of pressure or be chilled to minus 253 degrees Celsius. That's colder than almost anything else humans routinely handle. That single trade-off, wonderful by weight, awful by volume, shapes every decision these companies make. Hold on to it. Now let's talk about ZeroAvia specifically, because they've done something most of their competitors haven't. They've actually flown. The company was founded in 2017 by Val Miftikoff, a physicist who'd previously built and sold an electric vehicle charging company. So, this is somebody who came into aviation from the energy side, not the airframe side, and it shows in how they've approached the problem. Their strategy is smart. They are not building a new airplane. Building a clean sheet airplane and certifying it is a decade-long money furnace. And we've watched a lot of eVTOL startups learn that lesson the hard way. Instead, ZeroAvia is building a powertrain. an engine, essentially, that's designed to replace the turboprop on aircraft that already exist and already have type certificates. Their first product is called the ZA600. It's a hydrogen electric powertrain in the 600 kilowatt class, aimed at aircraft up to about 20 seats. Think of the workhorses of regional aviation, the Cessna Caravan, the Dornier 228, the Twin Otter, the de Havilland Dash 8 family further down the road. In January of 2023, they took a Dornier 228, a 19-seat regional turboprop, and they replaced the engine on the left wing with a hydrogen electric powertrain. Left the conventional engine on the right for safety, and they flew it. Took off from Cotswold Airport in the United Kingdom, flew a full pattern, and landed with one propeller being turned by a fuel cell and electric motor drinking hydrogen. That's a real airplane off the ground on hydrogen electric power, not a rendering. Not a scale model. That distinction matters enormously in this business, because renderings are cheap and flying hardware is not. Now, let's be honest about the caveats, because Vector doesn't do hype without the other side of the ledger. That first flight was a testbed. One engine was still conventional. The hydrogen was stored as compressed gas, and the fuel cell and its cooling systems took up a big chunk of the cabin. That's not a configuration you can sell tickets on. It was a proof of concept. And it proved the concept. But there's a long road between a flying testbed and a certified powertrain you can hang on an airliner and put fare-paying passengers behind. Let me lay out the honest engineering challenges, because this is where it gets real. Challenge one is thermal management. This surprises people. A fuel cell runs cool compared to a jet engine, and that's actually the problem. A turbine engine dumps most of its waste heat straight out the exhaust as hot gas. A fuel cell can't do that. It makes low-grade heat that you have to get rid of, with radiators and cooling loops, and moving an airplane's worth of heat overboard through radiators adds weight and drag. Cooling is one of the quiet, unglamorous problems that will make or break these systems. Challenge 2 is the storage question we already talked about. ZeroAvia's early flights used compressed gas. But for the range airlines actually need, they're moving toward liquid hydrogen. And liquid hydrogen means cryogenic tanks, insulation, and dealing with what's called boil-off, which is hydrogen slowly warming up and needing to be vented. Managing minus 253 degrees on an airframe that flexes and vibrates and sits out in the sun is genuinely hard. Challenge 3 is the fuel cell's power-to-weight ratio. Automotive fuel cells exist and work. But an airplane demands far more power for far less weight than a car ever will. ZeroAvia has been developing high-temperature fuel cell stacks specifically to push that number up, because a fuel cell that's great in a truck is still too heavy to fly a useful payload. And challenge 4, the one that's completely outside their control, is the hydrogen itself. Right now, most of the world's hydrogen is what's called gray hydrogen. It's made from natural gas, and making it releases carbon dioxide. So if you fly an airplane on gray hydrogen, your airplane's exhaust is clean, but you just move the emissions upstream to the factory. The environmental promise only fully closes if the hydrogen is green, made by splitting water using renewable electricity. And green hydrogen today is expensive and not widely available at airports, none of it. So the technology has a chicken and egg problem sitting right in the middle of it. Airports won't build hydrogen infrastructure until there are airplanes to use it. Airlines won't buy the airplanes until there's hydrogen at the airports. Breaking that loop is as much a business and policy problem as an engineering one. Now, here's the honest timeline, because you deserve a real answer and not a slogan. ZeroAvia is targeting certification of that ZA600 powertrain for the smaller regional aircraft in the mid-20s, and they've talked about entering commercial service before the end of the decade. They've built real relationships to back that up. American Airlines and United Airlines have both taken positions or placed conditional orders. The company has agreements covering something on the order of 2,000 engines. They've got a larger powertrain, the ZA2000, aimed at aircraft in the 40 to 80 seat class, on a longer horizon behind that. Should you believe the timeline?
My honest read.
The first flights are real, and that puts them ahead of most of the field. But certification of a brand new propulsion type through the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, and its European counterpart is a mountain nobody has climbed before, with a fuel cell. There is no existing certification basis for a hydrogen electric powertrain on a passenger airplane. They're writing the rulebook as they go alongside the regulators. That process has a way of taking longer than any founder's slide deck predicts. I'd bet on the technology working. I'd be cautious about the exact year. Let me zoom out, because I don't want you to walk away thinking this is the only horse in the race. Universal Hydrogen, a competitor with a clever modular tank idea, actually flew a Dash 8 testbed and then ran out of money and wound down. That's a sober reminder that in this business, flying hardware and surviving as a company are two different achievements. Airbus has been studying hydrogen combustion for its Zero concept, though they've recently pushed that timeline to the right, which tells you even the biggest player in the world finds this hard. And the whole battery electric camp, the folks building airplanes like the ones we've talked about on this show before, they're betting the storage problem gets solved with cells instead of cryogenics. Here's how I'd frame the whole landscape for you, for short hops and training and light aircraft. Batteries probably win, because the range you need is small and simplicity matters. For the big long-haul jets, honestly, sustainable aviation fuel and better turbines are the near-term answer. Because you're not going to fit enough liquid hydrogen in a narrow body to cross an ocean without redesigning the airplane around giant tanks. But that middle band, regional flying, 19 to 80 seats, a few hundred miles, the routes that connect small communities to hubs, that's the sweet spot where hydrogen electric actually makes the most sense. It's exactly where ZeroAvia has aimed. That's not an accident. That's a company that read the same energy density chart we just walked through and picked the mission the physics allows. So, what's the takeaway? Hydrogen electric flight is not vaporware. There's flying hardware, real orders, and a coherent engineering plan behind it, but it is not around the corner either. It's a fuel storage problem wearing a propulsion problem's clothes, wrapped in an infrastructure problem, and all three have to get solved together. The airplane is the easy part. It's the cold, the volume, and the fuel supply that will decide whether your grandchildren fly on water vapor. I find that genuinely exciting, and I think a healthy dose of skepticism makes it more exciting, not less. Because when it does work, you'll know it wasn't hype. It was engineering. My thanks to ZeroAvia's own published flight test data, and to the reporting from Aviation Week and Flight Global, that helped me check the numbers on this one. If you want the deeper links, they'll be over at radiohanger.com. This is Vector. Keep asking how it works. That's the whole job. I'll see you next time on Clear Direct.